All right, of the top three places that you could write down of where you would like to go and share the gospel, would a psychic reader be one of them? I highly doubt that. I'm going to say that it would probably be on the bottom three of the top 100, to say the least. But today, you're blessed. Today, you have joined us for interview number four with Brother Mark Thomas with Evangelism on Fire. And if you'll stay tuned, you're gonna hear how he shares the gospel at a psychic reader location. It absolutely blessed me. So thank you for joining us. Red Word Exchange podcast, where we exist to strengthen and encourage Christians to share the gospel of Jesus Christ daily. And I want to welcome right now Brother Mark himself back. He has made it four interviews. And so, Brother Mark, welcome again.
Philip, thank you so much. It's an honor to be back on my fourth interview. Look, let me just say this. This is how much I love you and your podcast, Red Word Exchange. I've been on podcast interviews two times, never four.
So
you know what I'm saying, brother?
So
that's how much I'm loving what you're doing with Red Word Exchange. It's great to be on the fourth interview with you, my brother.
Well, that's awesome. And so real quickly, I want to get to the great. I mean, nobody wants to hear what I'm fixing to say. They want to hear about this psychic reading. And that may not even be the best part. I think you have another little bonus on top of that. But so if you haven't listened to our interview one, two, or three, I want to encourage you to at least go back to interview number one, where I share my motivation for doing this, because Mark has motivated me. And that's why I reached out to him and asked him if he'd allow me to interview him on this journey that he's been on, four states to a conference. And he was on point, on purpose to share the gospel along the way. And that's what this has been. That's the heart. It strengthened me. It encouraged me. He has done exactly what he sets out to do. And I knew that it would encourage and strengthen you. And so that's why I've asked him on. So anyway, there we are without any further ado. So let me go back. So let's get back in the car. We're in Florida. The conference is over. It's time to go back home. And we have one state that you have not had that share and commitment. And so we're headed to Tar Heelville. We're going to North Carolina, just south of your Virginia. And so we're in the car, Mark, and we're ready to listen.
All right. We're in the car. I'm heading home. Like you mentioned, I'm 95 northbound. Okay. Traveling through North Carolina. And I see a sign, and this sign says psychic reader next exit. Now I thought to myself immediately, go and meet the psychic and share the gospel message with them. Wow. Then I immediately thought, that's crazy thinking. That's got to be some stupid thought that you're thinking. It can't be of God. Then I remember something, Philip. Maybe I should pray over this matter.
Come on. Come on with it.
So I said, God, surely it's not you that's prompting me by the power of your spirit to go to the psychic reader and share the gospel. Is it you? Could it be you? I don't think it's you. Next thing I know, I feel, you know, I should just at least take the exit. All right. So I turn off. One step at a time. So I'm taking the exit, and it's important to bathe everything in prayer. So I said, God, I'm taking this exit. I'm not going to the psychic reader unless it really is your will. If it's your will, take me there. And don't you know that it was the leading of the Holy Spirit that took me there? It wasn't easy to find. And I thought it was kind of crazy because you have this sign that's just so visible on 95 North, but I took the exit and I drove a couple miles and couldn't find it. So I thought to myself, that was a sign, because you know what? Whenever you go to share the gospel, you have to overcome obstacles. And I had fear of going to a psychic place to share Jesus with that person or those people, right?
Yep.
So I thought to myself, this place is difficult to find. Let me just turn around and go on home.
That's right. Easy way back. I know my way back to the interstate.
Yes. I'll get on 95 and just go back home. All right. And then I just started praying. And then the Holy Spirit gave me some profound wisdom. You want to know what it was?
Yep.
Just ask someone for directions of where this place is at.
Okay.
And I knew in that moment I have a choice. So I stopped at this gas station, a BP. I asked two people, do you know where this psychic reading place is? Older gentleman told me, no need for you to go there. They're just going to take your money, and that stuff's not real anyway.
Oh, wow.
In that moment, I thought to myself, in my mind, you have no idea why I'm going there.
That's right.
You know, and then I felt motivated to go. That's where my motivation came from. And then the guy behind him, the second guy asked, oh, yeah, I know where it's at. You just go down, you know, a mile on the right-hand side. It's next to the Murano gas station. And I knew it was on, brother.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was on. So I said, God, on the way there, I'm driving there. I said, God, you're leading me to go to this place. Give me boldness. Give me the power. Give me the strength. Give me the confidence that I need. And give me the words to say, because I've witnessed to a lot of people, but I've never driven to a psychic place to go share the good news. And Philip, I'm just going to be straight up with you. I was nervous, man.
No doubt. I would have been too. There's no doubt.
You know, in fact, let me strike that. Let the record strike that statement. I was scared. I was scared, but I knew God would be with me. I knew I was prayed up. I knew he would cover me. So I pulled up. I found the location. I pulled up into the, you know, the drive, and God met me at the door. And, you know, I said, hey, I'm here to see the psychic. And he looked down at my shirt, and I was wearing my Evangelism on Fire shirt. And this guy became instantly he became angry. He said, I know you're a Christian, and I know why you're here. And I thought to myself, this could be a sticky situation here.
Oh, yeah. It's not starting off well.
Yeah. It's not starting off well at all. And I said, why are you so upset? He said, I'm sick and tired of you Christians calling here, coming here, telling my wife and I that me and our family are going to burn in hell and what we're doing is wrong. And he just went on and on. And he shared with me why he was so angry. And I thought in that moment, it was a perfect opportunity to ask him. I said, has any Christian ever come here to tell you about God's love? And he said, no. I said, has any Christian ever come here to tell you about the wonderful things about heaven? He said, never, not once. And I said, look, man, I want to apologize to you right now about any negative encounters you ever had with Christians. I let him know at that point. Typically, I don't let people know I'm a pastor because that's a wall,
yep.
You know, and people, that's something that just doesn't need to be mentioned. But in this circumstance, you know, I told him, I said, my name is Mark. I asked him what his name was. He told me his name. And I said, you know what, man, I'm a pastor. And I want to apologize for every negative thing that any Christian has ever said to you. And I said, I apologize. I said, I'm not here to condemn you or judge you. I said, I'm here to talk about the love of God and how much God loves you and that he loves you so much that he desires a relationship with you.
How was his demeanor at that time? I don't think he was expecting you to say that. How did he respond to that?
Well, he was still angry and he was still testing me out. And then I asked him, I said, you know what? Just tell me a little bit about your story. You know, tell me about some of those negative phone calls that you've gotten. Tell me about people who actually drove up here to just tell you all these negative things. Share that with me. I said, I'm interested about your life. You know, would you be willing to share that with me? And he started to share, you know, some details about some of the traumatic experiences that he's faced. you know, when people literally come into his home and, you know, threatening his wife, his kids. I shouldn't say threatening them, but telling them the realities of hell, but not with the love of God.
Okay.
You know, and not there to speak about the goodness of God and not to judge them, but to offer them, you know, love and care enough about them. He told me, you know, I said, so wait a minute. I said, you're telling me that not one person has come here to tell you that God loves you. He said, never, not once. And he says he's just used to Christians just reaching out to them and bashing them and telling them that they're going to burn in hell. And I said, let me tell you something, man. I'm not here for that. I'm here to tell you about how much God loves you. And, you know, he could see that I really was concerned about him. You know, I apologized for any of the negative encounters. And I just asked him, I said, look, I said, I care about you and I want you to know about the love of God. And I don't want to specifically talk about hell. I want to talk to you about the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers you. You know, and through the conversation, you know, he's becoming less angry and he starts to ask me questions. And we have a dialogue. And now, you know, he trusts me somewhat enough to have a conversation. And he realizes that I really, really care about him and his family. You know, so there was a change in his, you know, his attitude at that point.
And just to make note, you know, we talked about in interview 3, the lead-in questions. You know, I think sometimes, especially if you've not shared the gospel much, you're so focused on getting, let me get to Jesus, let me get to Jesus. And yes, that is the most important part. But these lead-in questions, I think, are so important to soften and work your way to the point where they're asking you questions. And that's so important. If you get to that part of the conversation with an individual where they're asking you questions, they're chances that they're listening to what you're saying, I think, go way up.
Yeah.
And you've done that through leading in and pouring in and taking a real concern for him, asking him questions. And I just want to, we can't overlook that. Do not overlook that. That's so important.
Yeah. I mean, you're so correct about that. And, you know, I asked him, here's where I like the breakthrough in the conversation came. I said, you know, hey, Justin, you know, that's his name, Justin. And I said, hey, I got a friend named Justin who lives in North Carolina too, you know. And his thing was, he asked me this question. He said, what would make you come and talk to me and then not leave once I got angry? I mean, when I say this guy was angry, he was like angry to the point to where he wanted to intimidate me so I would get in my car and drive away. You know, and I said, you know what? I just know that it's so important for everyone to know about God's love. You know, that my main goal is for you to hear about that. You know, and that was the breakthrough in the conversation. And I asked him this. Here's where the breakthrough came. I asked him, I said, where are you from, man? How did you end up here in North Carolina? Were you born here? You know, because these questions I really want to know. I have a sincere interest in his backstory. You know, he said, oh, hey, I was born in Virginia Beach. And see, there was a connection because, you know, I said, hey, I'm from Virginia. I'm headed back to Virginia right now. And, you know, I knew the area that he was from. And, you know, I love Virginia Beach. And he told me the backstory, how he ended up in North Carolina, you know, and, so you always look, when you're sharing the gospel with someone, you always look for a commonality. And that was the commonality, you know. And then I asked him, I said, hey, you know what, Justin, you know, I share the gospel with him. And he told me the reasons why he didn't want to continue the conversation. And I said, I understand that. I said, I respect that. I said, will you allow me the honor and privilege of praying for you, your wife, His wife's name's Gina. And then they have three kids. Can I pray for you and your family? And I took the opportunity. He said yes. And I was excited. And, you know, I prayed that God would reveal himself to Justin and his family, that God will bless them with each and every breath they breathe, every step that they walk, and that God will reveal himself to him and his family. You know, and that was a prayer. And, you know, I'm so thankful. That's what you call sowing the seeds.
Yes.
You know, so I was sowing the seeds. So it's important to know that when you're sharing the gospel message, it takes an average of 8 positive contacts of someone hearing the gospel message presented to them before they make a decision to follow Jesus as their Savior.
That's good information to know.
Yeah. So that may have been the first positive contact that he ever experienced. Well, it's going to take an average of 7 more, you know, 7 more positive contacts with the gospel presentation that, you know, whoever God sends his way will have with him. And you know what I said? I said, Justin, I said, let me ask you something, man. I said, would you consider joining me for online church? I said, man, you don't have to leave your home. I said, I'm going to connect with you on Facebook. I'll send you a link to our services on Sunday online. Would you watch? He said, I'll think about it. So I friended him. I said, is it okay if I friend you on Facebook? Let's friend each other right now. He said, sure. All right. So what I did, I said, Justin, I'm going to send you an online, you know, a virtual link. You can join us online for our virtual church service. Give it a shot. You know, if you like the church service, all right, join us online for church. But hey, here's the most important part. You need to get plugged into a local church here in the community, a local Bible-believing church, and you got to get plugged in, man. I said, I'm encouraging you to do that. Is that something you would even consider? He said, yeah, I'll think about it. I said, okay, so as soon as I got back in the car and I left, I sent him an online, you know, a link to our online virtual service. And just praying that he'll actually attend our online service. And I'm just praying that, you know, Jesus will reveal himself to him and his family. And just praying that, you know, maybe God will really burn in their hearts to go and get plugged into a church that's not going to judge them. Because I know it's a weird situation. They're psychic readers and spiritual advisors, you know, so we know how all that works, but, you know, maybe they will get the boldness to go to a church that's going to accept them for who they are and then share Jesus with them and love them right where they're at, you know?
A couple of things, Mark, that's incredible. So a couple of things there that you mentioned, just want to bring attention to before we move on. You provided in my podcast series on importance of follow-up. One thing I mentioned is we provide follow-up not only when somebody makes a decision to believe and confess Christ. And you did that. This gentleman, he did not believe this time. But you still provided that follow-up, which is so important. You provided a way to connect. You prayed for him and, you know, you connected him with your church at least. I mean, you know, you're not from that area. You couldn't tell him, well, the Bible believing church that I need you to go to is X. But you said, look, you can go to my church. I believe in the Bible. I'm preaching Jesus. And you gave him that easy opportunity. So don't forget, don't overlook that awesome faithfulness of you there. You know, I think you showed the love for him that he had not experienced before. So, you know, you showed him that it was possible that a Christian could show love to him. And I think that was absolutely important. And anyway, just great job there. Really, you know, and then also you admitted you were nervous, beyond nervous, even scared, and was still faithful. And God was there with you. And also, lastly, don't forget this. You remain positive and you're fixing to show us that. That's a great segue into our next point. You remain positive. You didn't look at this as a failure. You looked at it as obedience. You planted a seed. We talked about it at length in interview 3. God, it's his responsibility to work salvation. It's our responsibility to be obedient and share in God's word. You did that. You were not downtrodden or, you know, discouraged. And so take me on down the road. I think you got something really special to share here. So take me on down the road and tell me what God did.
All right. So yeah, I'm going to take you on down the road, literally right down the road. So, you know, I know God had put in my heart to not just share the gospel in all those four states that I traveled, but to lead someone to Jesus in all four states that I traveled through. So at this point, I had not had the opportunity, the honor, and the privilege to lead someone to Jesus. And I committed to leading someone to Jesus in all those different states. So I would not leave North Carolina until that happened.
Commitment.
I made a commitment, and I would not leave North Carolina. I don't care, brother. I don't care how long it would have took me. You know, I was already behind the so-called schedule that I had laid out. But I said, God, you know what? You're calling me to lead someone to Jesus, and I'm committed. I'm not leaving North Carolina until that happens. So literally down the street from the psychic reading place is, I passed by, it was a laundromat. And I passed by it, and I thought, hey, you know what? People at the laundromat, they're not going anywhere for a long time.
That's right. Captive audience.
Captive audience, my brother, they're not going anywhere until their clothes are finished. And I'm like, this could be the spot. So I prayed. I said, God, I'm going in here. If there's anyone you want me to witness to, lead me to that person, Holy Spirit. And I prayed this prayer that God, lead me to someone who is not resistant to your gospel message, who is ready to receive you, Jesus, as their Savior. You know, specific prayer is very important in all, you know, all of our lives. But, you know, especially when it comes to evangelism, you know, it's good to pray specifically. And I walked in. There was this young girl who's 17 years old and her family. She's the only one in the place that could speak English. And I asked her, you know, would she ask her family if I could ask her a question? I wanted to get their permission. So she asked them, she said, yeah, you know, I had their permission. So I started a witness to her and I asked her, I said, hey, you know what? My name is Mark. What's your name? She said, Gabby. I said, what are some of your dreams as a 17-year-old? You know, what are some of your hopes, some of your dreams? What are some things that, you know, you want out of life? And she couldn't answer that question. You know, she said that she loved her family, that she just wants to live a good life, but she really didn't have any dreams. And I asked her, I said, you know what? I said, do you know why you're here? Do you know how you got here? Do you know what's going to happen after you leave Earth? She said, I really don't think about those things. And I said, you know, those are things that if you think about, you'll discover your dreams. And I told her, I said, you know, I help people see themselves in different ways. And I said, what if I introduce you to someone who knows all about why you're created, and they, and this person has hopes and dreams for your future and great plans for you. Would you want to hear about that? Would you want to hear about this person? And she said, yes. And I asked her, I said, do you ever think about God? And she said, sometimes. I said, do you believe in God? And she said, yes. So that conversation opened up to a point to where I asked her, I said, hey, I took out my phone. I got my digital Bible out and I turned to Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, and 13. And I told her, I said, you know what? God says, I have plans for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future, you know, to give you an incredible life. And the scripture says, and I had her read along with me that, you know, if you seek me and you find, if you seek me with your whole entire heart, you will find me. And I asked her what she thought about that. And she said, I don't really know what to think about that. And then I shared with her, if you could seek God and you could discover why he created you and you could discover the dreams and the reason why you're put on this earth, you know, would you be interested in that? She said, yeah. And I said, you know what? It starts by first knowing Jesus as your savior. And I asked her, I said, hey, I've got this question I like to ask complete strangers like you, Gabby. It's called the big question. I said, are you ready for the big question? She said, yeah. I said, when you take your last breath on earth, are you 100% sure you're going to be in heaven? Do you know that answer? And she said, no. I asked her, I said, do you ever think about that? You know, I said, we're creatures that are made to live for an eternity. And she said that she thought about that occasionally. And I shared the gospel message with her. And, you know, she listened to the gospel message. She said that she believed it. And she said this. I think this is very important for our listeners. She said, my family and I, we go to church. You know, we go to church every Sunday. And I said, you know what? I said, well, has anyone in your church ever shared the gospel message with you? Like what I'm sharing with you? And she said, yeah. No.
Are you, what? Hold on. Repeat that one more time. So yeah. She goes to church every Sunday and you just told me no one has ever shared the gospel with them.
Never. Never. And you know what? That happens in a lot of churches. Now, I listen to your messages at your, you know, for your church services, and I know your church will not go without the gospel presentation at the end of your services. All right. But in a lot of churches, they will never have a gospel presentation for people to accept Jesus. You know, in like at our church, one of the things I do in all of our small groups, I have all of our small group leaders know how to present the gospel to people. And I see people who have been attending church for years, all right, never made a decision to accept Jesus as their savior. You know, either they haven't heard the gospel presentation or they know God in their mind, but they haven't accepted Jesus in their heart. I just led my father several weeks ago to Jesus. And this is what he said. He said, I've always believed in God. I've always known he's real. He said, but I've never had, he called it an occurrence of accepting Jesus into my heart. And I just discovered that 3 weeks ago.
That's incredible.
And yeah. And that's like, hey, that's, listen to this, Philip. After 8 years of being estranged from my family, all right, we reconciled. And that was the second time that I've seen my family in 8 years, all right, that I discovered this, because we were talking about, you know, eternity in heaven. And I was looking at my father. He's making these, you know, his countenance was weird. He's making these weird faces. And I asked him, I said, Dad, you look uncomfortable. And he told me, he said, you know what? I believe in God. You know, I've always believed in him. I've always known he's real. There's no question about that. But I have never had an occurrence accepting Jesus Christ as my savior, because he has never heard the gospel message. Well, I won't say he never heard the gospel message before, but that was the moment that he heard it, that he believed, and that it connected with him.
And so real quick, you said something that's so important. It's something that's been just heavy on me as well. You said your dad said that he had never had an occurrence. Now that's kind of an abstract word a little bit, but we wrapped up VBS last week, and when we wrapped it up, I asked people, I said, can you, if I ask you the question, make the request, tell me about the time when you decided to follow Jesus, when you decided to believe, confess, ask for forgiveness, and follow him. And I said, if I ask you that to tell me that, and you could not, then we have work to do. We have more questions. So that's what I'm calling an occurrence. I think that everyone, if you're calling yourself a Christian today, a believer today, I'm not saying that you have this crazy, unbelievable something. It's not about that. It's not about the craziness of it or something that you can't explain. I'm talking about, has the Holy Spirit made you aware that you're a sinner? And you responded and you said, yes, I am a sinner. And there's only one that forgives sins. God alone forgives sins. And you cried out to Jesus because he died for us. He provided forgiveness for us. And you ask him for that forgiveness. And then you ask for him to guide you, lead you into a life that brings him glory. That's what I'm saying. That's the occurrence, I guess, more specifically of what I'm talking about. Is that what your dad's talking about? He did not have that to recall.
Precisely.
Man, that's what you got to have. I mean, you have to be able to tell you've been made aware of your sins. You can't ask for forgiveness if you don't know you need it. Amen?
Mm. Amen, and, brother.
And so that's it. Anyway, I'm sorry. Sorry, but that's something that's on my heart. I hope somebody needs to hear that today, Mark. Man, even you may be sitting here. You may have came to this podcast today going, I need to learn how to share the gospel. And you may have learned, hey, I've never asked for forgiveness myself.
Mm.
Amen. And you need to do that first. You need to ask for forgiveness and place your faith in Jesus Christ first. But anyway, go ahead.
No, brother, you're so on point with that. You know, and I'm a believer. Look, if you can, so many people have a head knowledge of who God is.
Amen. Yeah, say it again. Say it one more time.
So many people have a head knowledge of who God is.
Yes.
But they have not in their heart accepted Jesus as their Savior. Right. You know, so many people think that they had that, as my father said, my earthly father said, occurrence. All right. But they haven't made Jesus their Savior, and they haven't made Jesus the Lord of their life.
So you said something I want to make a note on. Head knowledge of Jesus. So I shared the gospel with a guy yesterday, and I asked him the question. I said, who is Jesus Christ to you? And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean? Who is Jesus Christ? And I said, let me lead you to an answer. I said, some people would say that Jesus was a crazy man. I said, some people would say, he was, you know, prophet. He was a good man. He was a good person. You know, he did so many great things for humanity. I said, but also, Jesus is the Son of God. I said, now, how you answer that question tells me where you are in reality, in really needing, and where you need to be with knowing who Jesus is. If Jesus is anything other than the Son of God, that's not the Jesus I'm talking about.
Mm. So how did he respond?
Well, he thought about it for a second, because I don't know that, you know, probably never been presented that way to him before. He thought about it for a minute, maybe 5-10 seconds, and he looked at me. He said, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. I said, well, if you want to spend eternity in heaven with God, that's the only thing that you can believe Jesus to be, because John 14:6 tells us that there's only one way to God, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So amen to that. Anyway, I've strayed as far enough. I chased this rabbit. Let's get you back. Get back to finish up with your dad, though. That's important. I want to hear the rest of that God story, and then we'll get back to Gabby.
Yeah. So, you know, I presented the gospel with him, and he and my mom. Now, keep in mind, we haven't been in each other's presence in 8 years. You know, God just reconciled that our relationship. And then this is the second time I've seen them in 8 years. And now we are in a circle holding hands. And I have the, man.
Come on.
I have the honor.
Amen.
Of leading my father to Jesus. You know, and it was one of the greatest moments of my life. You know, and and I'm thankful, because during that time of estrangement, my mom's from Korea. And in the Korean culture, if a child does something that they don't like, it doesn't matter what it is, they'll just disown you. and my mom disowned me. And, you know, I remained faithful to what God's word said. He said, honor your father and your mother, for this is a commandment with a promise. So I told God, I'm going to honor my mom. I'm going to honor my father. And I prayed for them. And, you know, I was always there for them. If they needed anything, I called them. I just let them know I love them and that I was there and that I'm looking forward to seeing them one day. And I never disconnected myself with them, even though, you know, they disconnected themselves from me. And I think for those who are listening right now, you have family issues. Trust in God and love your family. Those of you that maybe you're estranged, you know, your mother and your father, honor your mother and father as God has created you to serve them. It's one of the greatest honors as a Christ follower that you can ever take part in. Honor your mother and your father and love them the way God loves you and never relent from that.
Amen.
You know, and God, He will reconcile your relationship and He will bring it to pass. And in that moment, when you're in the moment of reconciliation, you will realize that God's timing is perfect and all your questions will be answered in a split second. Honor your mother, honor your father, love your family, love your friends, no matter what they've done to you. And that's one of the greatest ways we can serve God, my brother.
Amen.
All right.
You've blessed me, and you have blessed me. I feel your emotion, and God is good, and I'm so thankful that you shared that with us. So Gabby and her family, they go to church every Sunday, never heard the gospel. Go.
Yeah. So I said, Gabby, you know what? A lot of people go to church, and a lot of people, you know, aren't saved who go to church. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. So many people go to church week after week after week, and maybe they've never heard the gospel message preached like what I'm sharing with you, but you are hearing the good news. I'm going to share it with you. You just tell me if you believe it. Tell me if you have any questions. I'll answer all the questions that I can answer. And if I don't know, Gabby, I'm going to tell you I don't know. I'm not going to make something up, but I will find that answer out for you. And I will get in touch with you to let you know as soon as I find out. I share the gospel message with her. She believes it. I lead her in a prayer. I said, hey, Gabby, may I lead you in a prayer? We're in the laundromat. I said, may I lead you in a prayer? She said, yes. All right. Being that she's 17 years old and a female, I wanted to honor her. I didn't feel the need to put my hand on her prayer. I just told her, I said, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I looked at her, you know, eye to eye. Her whole family's watching this. And I lead her in a prayer. She accepts Jesus as her Savior. Beautiful experience. She had this beautiful smile come across her face.
Awesome.
It's nothing like when you share the gospel with someone, they make a decision, and then you see their countenance, you know, their body change, and you could see the joy in her. Now, I said, you know what, Gabby? I said, you have a next step. You just accepted Jesus as your Savior. You have a next step. This is your next step. I'm going to go out to my car. I'm going to get you a Bible. I'm going to go out and get this book called Begin. It's going to explain this new, exciting, amazing journey, the first steps of your journey with Jesus. I turn to chapter 5 in this book called Begin. It talks about baptism. I said, you take this, read it, and go to church this Sunday. Tell the pastor that you made a decision. You made Jesus your Lord and Savior, and you want to get baptized. And I said, will you do that for me? She said, yes, you would. And then I said, and I think this is very important when we have the opportunity to lead someone to Jesus. I said, Gabby, can you do something? Would you consider doing something? She said, yeah, what is it? Tell three people you made a decision accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Three people that you know. Because it's important to encourage them to already immediately start to share their faith in Jesus with other people.
That's right. That's awesome. That's a good charge. I've never done that. That's a good word. I think that's a good word for the listeners out there today. That's awesome. You build that testimony and already getting, you know, practice and comfortable sharing her testimony, what
Absolutely.
God has done for her.
Immediately. Yes, sir. So you know what? I love what, you know, it says in scripture in Matthew chapter 9 that the harvest is plentiful. And look, brother, you know this. The harvest is plentiful. People are waiting. They're hungering. They're thirsting to hear the gospel message. All right? But they're just waiting for people to come and share it with them. The scripture says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But I like to say this. The harvest is plentiful, and the laborer is you. Come on, somebody.
Come on. I need the organ right there. That would have been sweet. I love that.
Yeah, and you know what? Each day I wake up, you know, it's good to have, like, proclamations and declarations over yourself. And one of those, and I stole this from a pastor. His name is Craig Groeschel. Two things that I took from his list and I added to mine. Today, I rededicate myself to the hyper-focus of evangelism that Jesus advocated in Luke 19:10. And we know Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Look, if it's Jesus' mission to do that, it's my mission to do that, right?
If you're following Jesus, you're going to follow him right through doing that right there, brother.
That's right. You said it. And another declaration I like to speak over myself. Every morning when I get up, today I will share Christ with at least one person. Now, do I do that every single day? I fall short, brother. But it's in my mind. It's in my DNA, you know, to attempt to try to do that.
That's right. And that's don't miss that. Don't overlook that. Don't overhear what he just said. Every day, sharing with at least one person. Set the goal. Put it in your heart. And I think that is... how much more successful would we be if that was on our checklist every day? We're going to do this. We're going to glorify, not just to do it. Hear that. Please do not hear anything other than my heart here. To glorify God, we're going to put it on our heart to share Jesus, to share the message of Christ with one other person.
That's it, brother. Amen.
Well, man, you've blessed me. And I know right now people listening, they're driving in their car. They're fixing dinner. They're doing different things. But I hope that right now, and I feel confident that they would say, man, I've been blessed by listening to this. I've been blessed by listening to how God used Mark. And I know that you've encouraged others. You've encouraged me. You've blessed me with your time, your stories, everything, and your prayers. And so tell everybody, so this can't be it. I mean, I know there's some people going, I need some more of Mark Thomas's ministry. I want to continue to hear what God's done. So how can they connect with you in the future?
Yeah. Thanks for asking that. And before I give you guys the ways you can connect with me, hey, this is a Christian podcast, and most of the people that are listening are Christians. But there's some that are not listening, that are listening that are not Christians. All right? And you hear Philip and I talking about the wonderful free gift of salvation that only Jesus offers. And you realize right now that, you know what? There's never been a point in time where I had an incurrence, or there's never been a time where I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. Well, guess what? Now is the time. Today is the day. It's the whole reason you're listening right now. God's time is perfect.
That's right.
And Philip, I don't think it would be appropriate for me to lead those people to Jesus. It's your podcast. And brother, I think they really want to hear from you on how they can come to know Jesus as your Savior. And then would you give those people, your listeners, an opportunity for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it starts with believing. That's what we say. So if the Holy Spirit, like you said, if the Holy Spirit has convicted you right now that you're not a believer, that you've never made a decision to follow Christ. So the first part is believing that everything that we've said about Jesus is true, that he is God's son, that he did come to earth, that God sent Jesus, that God came in the form of a man to live a perfect life and to willingly give his life on the cross for our forgiveness of sins. And then 3 days later, he resurrected to life. 3 days later, and then he showed himself alive for 40 days, and then he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. And he is there right now making intercession for us, for those believers out there. If you believe that, if you believe that that's what Jesus has done, then I just want to encourage you to pray a prayer similar to this. It doesn't have to be exact. Just tell God exactly what you want, but pray a prayer similar to this. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I confess all my sins to you. And right now, Jesus, I ask for forgiveness of all of those sins. Right now, Jesus, I want to admit that you are the Son of God. Admit that you did die for my sins. And I want to admit that you will come again to receive me to yourself. And Jesus, I pray that you would overwhelm me, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, and you would empower me to live for you for the rest of my life until you return. Thank you for saving me and empower me to share this gospel message for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, for those of you that just made that decision, I want to congratulate you. Philip and I, we congratulate you. You have just made the biggest, the most important decision of your entire life.
Amen, brother.
And we congratulate you. Hey, do this. This is one of the ways you can connect with me. For those of you who just made that decision, go to evangelismonfire.com. That's evangelismonfire.com. Once you get to the homepage, scroll to the bottom in the comment section. Leave me your name, your phone number, your contact information. And what Philip and I are going to do, listen to this. We're going to have follow-up come right to your front door. We're going to send you a Bible. We're going to send you a book called Begin right to your front door so you can have the next step of your walk with Jesus planned out for you, and you can have guidance and direction that you need. So again, evangelismonfire.com, go to the homepage, go to the bottom to the comment section, leave me your information. I'll send that to you as soon as possible. Another way that you can connect with me, Evangelism on Fire podcast, all podcast platforms. And connect with me, please connect with me on my Facebook group, Evangelism on Fire Facebook group. Come join us, be a part of our amazing family. And I look so forward to connecting with you.
Mark, once again, my thanks. I'll never be able to thank you enough for your time. And again, your faithfulness. I'm so thankful for everything. You've blessed me. You've blessed other people. And so hear that. First and foremost, any final word before I pray us out?
Well, I just want to acknowledge you. I have been so blessed by being on these four interviews on your amazing podcast. And I just want to thank you so much. It's really been an honor and a privilege. Thank you.
To God be the glory for all of it. And if you haven't checked out the Red Word Exchange Facebook group, also want to encourage you to get on there and interact with us there as well. And just thank you again for listening. I'm going to pray for us, and then we will conclude our fourth interview here with Brother Mark. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for weaving this thread in our lives and connecting us, Father. And I thank you, God, for all these wonderful truths, these moments. We glorify you. We thank you. We lift you up for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. And I pray, God, for everybody who's listening, Lord. I pray for those that made a decision for you, believed in you, dear God. I just pray that you would see them through and just strengthen them. Pray for Mark and his ministry, his podcast, all those things, dear God. Just please continue to use him as a vessel for you, dear God. And I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified through this episode, this interview, all the interviews, Lord. And just please, God, just continue to use us. And please continue to instill the joy that only comes from you in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, that's it. Interview 4. You be blessed, and we'll see you next time.